Good morning. Welcome to the MT for Christ 24/7 podcast. As always, we're here on a Sunday morning to do what we do, study the Bible. And this little meeting is Bible study with the Sincottis, as we're joined today by Arthur and Susanna Sincotti, and my lovely wife, Tammy Lynn Clark. And Arthur's already sent us the study. This week's study is called Bound by Freedom. And so we're going to dive into that topic and see where the Word and the Holy Spirit take us. But before we do that, we'll say good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning,
And
Mark and Tammy Lynn.
to start us off.
And
Good
I'll pray.
morning.
Go ahead.
Indeed. Will you open in prayer today?
Father God, we just open with our hearts, we open with our minds, we open with our sides of are bound to be with you, Lord God, that we want to be with you, Lord God, that we want to study your word to be proved and to be assured and to be good witnesses for you, Lord God.
Yes, I agree.
We thank you for this study. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for the two households that are represented here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the multiple households that are represented of people that listen and watch. We thank you, Father God, that your hand of mercy is not short. Your arm is not too short that you cannot reach every person that needs to hear the gospel.
That's right.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, Bound by Freedom, I had to go into the archives this week, look into some old books on the shelf, all kingdom-oriented stuff, and I came across Kingdom Living by Jack Hayford. And so,
God rest his soul, or welcome to heaven. I'm not sure what you say.
You remember that? You must have read it.
I remember reading one of Hayford's books in college, but I don't recall the title. It might have been. I don't think it was Kingdom.
Make a workbook of some sort.
But yeah,
well,
he graduated to the kingdom not long ago, so it's sort of a nice homage,
right,
to the man and his work, and pointing to that spirit-filled life, so certainly appropriate.
Yeah. So, freedom was really my aim, and what the Lord had really placed on my heart. We'll see. In some aspects, we're building off of last week's study, but freedom was the thing really pressing on me. And so, as I was browsing through some old books, there's a chapter in Jack Hayford's Kingdom Living called Bound by Freedom. And it really spoke to me, you know, because that's kind of an oxymoron, right? Bound by freedom. That statement is, it collapses in on itself. And that's one of the aspects and elements of freedom that we're going to study out and look at. I primed the pump a little bit by doing a short version of this study in the prison last night. What a great group. The men were just very attentive, really anxious to drink in the gospel, asked good questions, very engaging. You know, sometimes it breaks my heart. I look at these guys, some of them, I listen to them. I wonder to myself, like, why are you here? You know, what happened? And I do typically have an opportunity. I'm going to try to get over there today to meet with one young man. I have opportunity to engage with them. I can do pastoral visits and one-on-one and really meet with them. You know, some of these guys they're smart, they're articulate, you know, not just palookas or dum-dums or whatever you want to call them. They're sharp people, and they're not, you know, crude or caustic. So you just wonder, like, how do people's lives downward spiral to a place? And it can happen. You know, it can happen to any of us. There's that old expression, there but by the grace of God go I.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I remember a saying from one of the, you know, one of the golden era millionaires, whether it was Morgan or one of those guys. Somebody asked him, well, how do you go bankrupt? And he said, slowly at first and then very fast. So Sin can creep in on us slowly. Yeah. It's those little foxes, right, that spoil the vine. And then all of a sudden, if you start chewing on it, and if you don't have a support system, if you're not in the Word, if you've departed from that, if you're not in prayer, that little fox grows into, you know, a giant, you know, whatever, dragon. And, it can consume your whole life. And so I assume in some cases, such is the case. So...
The only thing that I would like to add to that list of you're not doing, not that we're trying to say, you know, the do's and the don'ts, but if you're not in fellowship,
right? Yeah,
if you're not in fellowship with someone else, if you're not in fellowship with other people that can speak into your life and see what's going on and say, hey, maybe you want to stop doing that, or maybe we should get together, or maybe we should talk. You know, I know as women, Tammy Lynn and I both understand the concept of having friends around us that can speak into our lives and say, do this. Men tend to be a little more offset to have, you know, multiple friends around them.
Yeah.
But you do, we all need to have godly people around us that are willing to speak up and say, that just doesn't look like it's a good thing. And then it, as they pour into your life and you pour into theirs, then you can take that information. You can say, you know what, you're right. Let's pray about that. Let's help me, you know, help me be accountable so that I don't do that again.
Yeah. The proverb says the man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. Some versions, although the pastor likes to say your own destruction. And I like that, but I haven't found that translation yet.
But I can see how your desire rather than God's desire will always lead you to destruction.
And that's where we're headed with this study on freedom. The other thing that instigated it is that Rock Solid is starting up its Freedom in Christ ministry, recovery ministry. Pastor Bob Costello at the helm. And once again, and I know that was something that really forged Mark's mettle, you know, getting involved with that and then taking over the reins and teaching it and taking it to incredible new levels. So here we are talking about freedom, and our opening verse is, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So there's our formula right there. You want to be free? Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I wrote here that in essence, freedom is a fallacy. There's no such thing as freedom. Anybody who wants to experience freedom from gravity, good luck with that. You know, freedom from eating. We just came off our 21-day fast, and you can experience freedom from eating for a while. it's a short while, to tell you the truth. That tug it becomes real, and you know that's one of the purposes of fasting, to recognize how we're bound to the flesh, to what extent we're bound to the flesh, and so we can take dominion over that, we can take authority over that, but it's still limited in a dispensation of fallenness and this era. So We're not free, nor can we be, but we may choose to whom or what we may be tethered. So I know this is a hard word, especially for Americans, and I emphasized this in the jail last night, because freedom is our motto, you know, is our national motto. We fought a war to be free from England. Of course, that's like ancient history right now, and probably revisionist historians are running around wondering if we even fought that war. You know, maybe it's just a big fat lie. who knows? Because people can say anything now. You can say anything, especially on the internet. But freedom is something that we hold dear as Americans, the Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom to bear arms. These are things that we really embrace, and it's woven into our, you know, our cultural motif. So when we start talking about getting in your face and say, well, you're not free, That's them's fighting words. But the truth is, so Romans 6:16 flushes that out. Says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. So those are your two choices. I said last night, I'm glad there are only two choices because when I go to a restaurant and there's too many choices on the menu, I'm like mesmerized. I'm just
no, you're not mesmerized. You're completely thrown off when it takes 45 minutes for the waitress to come back again. And
right.
Are you ready now, sir? We're all starving.
And then I just get the burger. You know, I get so confused. I get so confused that I said, I'll just have the burger. So, you know,
we don't know what that's like. Hey.
Yeah.
Usually I just get the one thing I get. And then when I consider, just like Arthur, when I consider the other choices, that's when
sure.
Get cloudy.
You know, the word tether that was Arthur used in the opening paragraph here, the image of a boat came to my mind, even just a little rowboat. So you have a lake and you love your lake. You love going there. It's a lot of fun. It's a place where you can go and you have a little boat, but if you don't, and it's your boat and you're free to use that boat anytime you want. But if you don't tether that boat to the dock, if it doesn't have some kind of hold on it, one morning you're going to come out to the lake and your boat's going to be in the middle of the lake. And now how are you going to get it?
Unless you can walk on water.
Well, that may be, but more than likely you're going to have to swim out there to get it.
Yeah.
But my point is that we all think that we're so free to do this, we're free to do that. But even, you know, freedom of speech has a limit.
It does.
You can't say just anything you want.
Yeah.
You're free to say stuff, but you're not free to slander someone or cause them, you know, verbal harm or anything like that, or cause a problem with their person or their legacy or whoever they are.
Or yell fire.
You can't yell fire in an auditorium.
So, yeah.
Right.
You can't, there are restrictions on your freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Same things with bearing arms. You certainly can have guns and all that kind of thing, but you better have them locked up. You better have the ammunition put away in a different place. You better have these kinds of restrictions that are placed on your freedom to have guns, and that's good.
Yeah, restrictions are good things. And I like your analogy of the boat. Last night I used the analogy of an astronaut. And if an astronaut goes outside the space capsule, he or she is free, is floating around, is completely free, is untethered by gravity. That's like an ultimate freedom, but that person can't accomplish anything. They're just floating and they can't accomplish anything. But if they have a line, if they're tethered to something, now they can do some work. They can pull themselves back to the capsule. They can, you know, hang on to something and move around and control and have authority over their movement. But if you're just free, that can typically be a liability. Hayford put in Kingdom Living puts it this way: a person is a servant or a slave of that to which he gives obedience. Gives obedience, or that which he recognizes as his master. So I often use the analogy for the atheist who claims that there is no God and we're created to worship. So, you know, I like to use the analogy, show me your checkbook and your schedule and I'll show you who or what you worship. You know, I'll show you who or what your master is, because that's who you serve. So I said again, fortunately, there are only two choices, and the appropriate choice is pretty obvious. Once again, God gives us the answer. This is an open book test, and it's the options are not that mysterious. We might be compelled to ask the question, "What is freedom?" I've called it out as a fallacy, and some might say that it's the ability to do whatever you want, whenever you want.
Whoever you want.
And I would submit that's not freedom, that's anarchy. Imagine living in a world like that. Like it's kind of like the Old West, right? You know, talk about bearing arms. Just whoever has the bigger gun wins is the tone of the day. So is that the kind of world that we want to live in? And so right now in our culture, we see new freedoms emerging that we never would have imagined. And people are running around thinking that, oh, this is, we're so free and this is great. And we're throwing off the past and we're throwing off those moorings that just shackled us. But at the same time, up the other side of the mountain, is coming new bondages, new restrictions on freedoms, you know, because we're discovering that that freedom is not all that it's cut out to be. And I quote over here from Oz Guinness, wrote a book a few years ago, A Free People's Suicide, where he states the greatest enemy of freedom is freedom. So you know, I'd like to suggest that this is in fact a bondage, not a freedom, when we have so much freedom that, you know, we're really genuinely in bondage to our proclivities, our natural inclinations. It becomes a bondage. And like I said, Oz Guinness said, the greatest enemy to freedom is freedom. And we're seeing that. That's a very contemporary book. I think it came out within the last 10 years. And we've only downward spiraled further in culturally towards this end.
Mark, with your continuing teaching that you do and with the courses and the discipleships, I'm sure you experience this all the time.
Oh, yeah. We do the Freedom in Christ course. Freedom is the part of it. And there's just so much. I've been sitting back listening and drinking in everything you say. And while I do that, you know, immediately, a lot of things have come to mind. Everything you guys say just draws me in. And the first thing was that from your prison ministry, the thing that came to mind was the 2000, I think it's 2000, the movie came out called Requiem for a Dream. And in the movie, it was about these characters. You're introduced to them, and Jared Leto plays somebody who's into drugs, and it's a story about him and his mother. His mother's elderly, and she's in an apartment, and they're totally, you know, different generations and different people. And it shows how quickly the freedom they have, it disappears. Because of drugs, because Jared Leto, obviously a heroin addict or whatever, gets involved with crime and, you know, does all these things to escape and be free and be his own person. But the consequences of his choices and the path he chooses goes horribly, horribly wrong as he's incarcerated, loses an arm. sorry, spoiler alert.
Thanks, Mark.
His mother, who you would think would be safe in the confines of her little home, gets drawn into the loss of freedom from drugs through medications. She's elderly, and they give her medication to help her, and she becomes strung out on the medications they give her, and she's becomes enmeshed in this altered reality, and suddenly she's unbalanced, and they basically take her from her independent living and, you know, more or less force her into a home where she's like in an asylum, basically. And it really was I think the actress who played his mother was up for an Academy Award for that back then, because it was such a harrowing depiction of how a nice little normal family has dreams, has aspirations, and loses them all through the choices they make and the things they get tied up in.
Right.
And as you said, it's the Wild West out there in terms of freedom and everyone choosing what they want to do, where there's no restrictions in drugs, sex, And really, even our genders these days, we're taking off the shackles of our own bodies. It reminded me of the HBO series Westworld, which is based on the 1970s science fiction movie with Yul Brynner, where people go to this, this animatronic fun park where there's robots that are cowboys, and you can, you know, have gunfights and, you know, do all this stuff. Well, they re-released it with recently with an HBO series, and it just depicts how people sign up to go out and kill and murder and party and have sex and do all these things because there's no consequences for their actions inside this little game world. And that's like a real life thing. People are doing that electronically through virtual reality and video games, where they just get lost. And unfortunately, I would say my son is somewhat lost in that video realm, where he spends hours and hours and hours just playing games, escaping from reality and sort of lost in his own little world. He's staying out of trouble here on the terra firma, but he's isolated himself to the point where it's just that type of thing. Yeah. And he's free from the responsibilities of, of the work world and all that, but he's isolated himself in his own little prison.
And he's become a slave to it. He's become a slave to it. I mean, you know, and we can say, oh, that's terrible. You know, these people that are stuck into these games and everything, but we're slaves to that glowing rectangle that we call the cell phone.
Yeah.
Go check and see how many how many times have you just sat down and said, yeah, I'm just going to check, I'm just going to check this, I'm just going to check that. And 2 hours later, you go, oh gosh, I've been sitting on this stupid thing for 2 hours, and that's crazy. I haven't done anything. I've got to get dinner ready. I haven't done anything in the house. I haven't gotten my work done. I haven't got my studies done ready for the next class. Yeah. Whatever it is, all of a sudden, you realize that you've just been sitting there on the couch or the chair, staring at this glowing rectangle, and you have become a slave to it.
Yeah.
You know, we have a young woman who's a beautiful woman. She's going to have lunch with us today, Samantha. And she said that for January, for fasting, she fasted off of Facebook. She just, and other social media. She just didn't look at it. The only thing she used her phone for was to call people, to keep in touch with her mom and her sisters for a whole month. And she says, now it's okay. I don't have to, I'm not bound. I'm not tied to that. It doesn't make me anxious if I don't know what's going on in the world, you know, via these social medias. Because in truth, the social media is just spitting out more lies.
Yeah.
Because it's someone else's perspective of what their freedom is. Their freedom to say something can be harmful or not harmful.
Yeah.
Just to throw something out there and say, I'm anonymous and I can say whatever I want.
Yeah, the power of bondage is it slips in, it can sneak in like a little fox, and then you eventually realize that it has a grip on your soul. It has a grip on your soul that has taken control of your life. And the truth of the matter is, anything but the gospel will lead you down the path of destruction. It's going to lead you down a path of destruction, because genuinely, however the there are only two choices, we said, and however the other choices are disguised, because it may seem like I've got infinite choices,
right?
I've got so many choices. No, there are two choices, and however the other ones are disguised, they all fall under the category of bringing death and destruction, you know. And if people will just would just take a little inventory, you know, his personal inventory, be a little circumspect and consider, like you said, just look at the phone. Actually has the nerve to tell you how much screen time you've used. So take a look at where a bondage may have crept into your life, and contrast that with being a bondservant of Christ. Mm-hmm. And you just sometimes when I get sucked into some things on the phone, YouTube, and and I'm there for 2 hours. And then I'll think in retrospect, you know, I could have spent the past two hours chatting with the creator of the universe. Yeah. Gee, how boring is that? You know, wow. You know, because he's such a jerk, right? Because he just got nothing to say that's new, right? He's got nothing new to say. It's always the same thing. It's always what you can't do and foolishness like that. So this is the fallacy that we weave in our minds. And Jack Hayford goes on to say about freedom that we honor it, we celebrate it, we demand it, we pray for it. It's an overwhelming desire deep within us, but in the far reaches of our history, we lost it. We lost it big time. And I'm not just talking about here in America. I mean, this is world history. This is nothing. What's happening here is nothing new. And the ebb and flow, you know, of natural freedoms will happen in cultures. But we're talking about a freedom that's far more vibrant, far more life-giving, far more real. And the question becomes, how do you get it back? That's, you know, because this is a Bible study and this is good news. We're not here just to bring the bad news and tell everybody, hey, guess what, everybody? There's no such thing as freedom and you're in bondage. Thanks for coming. Thanks for tuning in. And, you know, we'll see you next week.
Go sit
in the molly grubs. Exactly. Mm. And in our opening verse, we see that the truth will make you free. In this context, the truth is not a negotiable concept, but a person. Mm-hmm. Okay. Later in this exchange, Jesus will say, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So that's a vibrant truth. This is now we're putting some meat on this equation, and it's starting to look like something very appealing. Because again, you know, the truth is not just a laundry list of do's and don'ts or a rigid a form of this is true and that's not true. You know, the red light is a red light. It's not a cultural concept. All right. It's a red light. Mm-hmm. Try to explain to the state trooper, Mark, your brother's a state trooper. Right? Try to explain to him that the red light really is a cultural concept. You know, it's just, you know, I don't know. Gee, I just didn't, it just didn't speak to me. I didn't feel like stopping. Right. Mm. So, but we understand the gospel that truth is far more satisfying than rigid cultural forms, because truth is a person, and Jesus says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Freedom is a gift, you know, like salvation. It's a free gift. Mm-hmm. By grace you've been saved, not of faith through works, not of faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, least anyone would boast, which, you know, we would do.
I just want to add in Romans 5:15, because I had my Bible open to the Romans for the chapter 6 that was starting all this. It says, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of that grace by the one man, Jesus Christ, abounds to many. So it's not just a narrow lending. It's like, here, everybody can have this.
Yeah.
But once again, much like there's two choices, there's a narrow way, but there's the broad way.
Right.
And many follow the broad way instead of following the narrow way. But the narrow way will lead you to life, and the broad way leads you to death.
Yeah, and that's the next point, because the point of entry is the narrow gate, and it's difficult, is the way to life. And there are few who find it. And that's Matthew 7:14, Jesus speaking. But once you break through, it breaks into a field of freedom. The freedoms that we know and enjoy in Christ are just so vast and satisfying. And we're going to flush that out a little bit as to what that translates into. Our freedom in Christ and conformity to the purpose for which we were created, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And that's from the Westminster Confession. That's our purpose for life. And I made this point in in the prison last night, it just really came to me. And I think it really resonated with the guys, because anything operating contrary to its purpose is, you know, it's like driving the car uphill in a snowstorm with bald tires at night, you know, the windshield wipers don't work. You know, it's anything trying to jam the square peg into the round hole, or use the screwdriver as a hammer, or whatever, anything operating contrary to its purpose is very frustrating and even damaging, right? And we've already made the point that that bondage is damaging, is harsh, is brings death, bondage to sin, which brings forth death, right? We read that. So when a thing is operating consistent with its purpose, we see a truth, a flow, you know, a rightness ascribed to that. And it's the same thing with us. When we're functioning according to the purpose of our design, okay, then life begins to unfold in a new dimension that's very, very satisfying.
I like your Galatians verse, Galatians 3:13, that says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law and have become a curse for us.
Yeah,
because there is an exchange that has to happen.
Right. We're redeemed or bought back from the bondage of death. Somebody asked a very good question last night. He says, "How did we get sold into bondage? Mm-hmm. How did we get into bondage?" That was it.
Took that and ran, dear.
Well, I had, you have to go back to the original sin.
Yeah.
Equation. Yeah, in the first event. If we live, so I that yeah. So I we already said that. I'm sorry. So we are his. We belong to Christ, and you know, I know. Once again, you know, slavery and that ownership notion. Is very, it's like nails on the chalkboard in our country, because we have such a harsh history with chattel slavery and the ownership of people and things of that sort. But once again, that's a very, very, very different dynamic. Sin is a harsh taskmaster, right? I used last night. The saying from the saying from free sin will take you. We've heard this. This is by Dr. Rogers Lee. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keeps you longer than you want to stay. So that's the bondage of sin, and it's a harsh taskmaster. The children of Israel were under harsh taskmasters, having to build the cities of Ramesses and Python and in ancient Egypt. So belonging to Christ, you know, there's a beauty to that. He loves us. He loves us to the extent that he gave himself for us. And there's a divine exchange. Our relationship in some sense is reciprocal, you know? I mean, love him because he first loved us, but this is a love relationship that's very rewarding and not as demanding as people make it out to be.
Right.
I liken it being bound to each other in marriage.
Oh, absolutely.
We're bound to each other with an oath, with a vow that we said before God and before our witnesses, our friends and our family, and we're bound to each other. And you know, that the term slave is foolish, but I mean, because it's been changed to such a negative situation, but we're bound to each other. We're meant to take care of each other. We're meant to listen to each other. We're meant to work with each other.
Yeah.
And we're meant to care for each other and that kind of thing together. in the vows of marriage. And that's a bound that is good. But then now in our culture, people are just throwing that off aside too.
And thinking that they're free.
I don't like this anymore.
Right.
It's hard. It's hard to be with this person. It's hard to listen to what they say. It's hard to put up with their, leaving the toothbrush on the countertop. It's hard for them for me to live with someone who doesn't put the dishes in the dishwasher. What?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I mean,
I'm getting much better.
And, yes, you are.
But
my point is that, people, I said to the girls in prison, we were talking also on the same kind of track, because my lesson was about what are you going to do when you get free out of this prison house, when you leave here, what are you going to do with all your freedom? And so we talked about those things, and I said, what are you doing now to prepare yourself for going when you go out? And when I said, one of the things, let's talk about some of the distractors, and some of them said, things, I'm missing the things that I don't have.
Mm.
I said, okay, let's think about being thankful for what you do have.
Mm.
It's -5 out there right now.
Yeah.
You have a place to live right now. You're in a warm, we're in a warm building. You have clothes to wear. There are people out there that don't have clothes to wear. Mm. You were fed a meal today, weren't you? 2 to 3 meals today. There are people out there that haven't eaten one meal today. You got to take a good hot shower today and get clean. There are people out there that haven't taken a shower in months because they don't have access to it, because they don't have that. You need to be thankful for what you have.
Right.
You have electricity. You have the books to read. You have things to do. You're not sitting out in the gutter somewhere, wondering where your next meal is going to come from.
Yeah.
And the three girls looked at me and were like, "Oh, yeah.
Right.
We'd be happy for what we have."
Even in jail,
you can be thankful.
Even in jail, I use the example of a different movie, the movie Flight with Denzel Washington, is the account of a pilot who just was a base alcoholic and drug addict. He was just really and flying planes at the same time. And so, through an incident, a plane crash, and this, that, and the other thing, he comes out, his alcoholism, he finally deals with it, and he ends up in prison. And he has opportunity in a group setting, kind of like a therapy or a group setting, where he tells the guys, he says, this may sound crazy, I'm here in jail with you guys, but I've never been so free. Yeah. Never been so free. And he's able to make that statement because he had finally, severed that stranglehold. Yeah. That with alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
And those are those are the big things, the typical things, but there are other forms of bondage. But the truth is we are Christ's. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says we were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. And that price that we of our redemption was the precious blood of Jesus, Peter 1:19. And we're humbled by this. Uh-huh. We're humbled that he gave his life to purchase us back from the bondage that we were sold into, just not because of anything that we did, but just because we were born. He gave his life. He laid his life down on our behalf to purchase us back from that. Like, who does stuff like that? Who cares to that extent? There's even a verse somewhere in one of the Gospels that said, "Surely, someone might give his life for a good man or a good person."
Yeah. But Tale of Two Cities, the book Tale of Two Cities at the end. That's the one man who gives himself in exchange for the other man.
Yeah.
Says, do a better thing. He's giving his life for a better man. I'm a wicked man. He's a better man. I'm going to exchange myself for him.
Yeah.
And that's all good and noble on that level. But Jesus did it on such a larger level.
And we can't help hearken to the verse that says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
So it's not like we were such a prize.
No.
But to him, we were. To him, we are such a prize. And that's life-giving. I mean, that excites me.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
I am loved
mm-hmm.
by the creator of the universe, who knows mm-hmm. everything. He knows all my idiosyncrasies. He knows how I, don't put the toothbrush back and the thing. And he knows all that about mm-hmm. me. He loves me just the same. And that's liberating. Mm-hmm. That's freedom.
Hey, I like this next paragraph.
Hey, Hayford kind of closes this chapter by saying that sin is no longer the master by default, but our right to choose remains intact. We have a continual choice to yield ourselves to sin or to God. Paul says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Mm-hmm. So Hayford actually draws out those two main points of Paul, where he says, reckon and present. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And those are, Hayford says that, those are in the active imperative, that it means mm-hmm. continue reckoning
yes.
and always present yourself, day by day, moment by moment. It's not a one-time deal at the altar. Like, I did that. Lucky me, good guy here. I did that, and I'm good to go. So,
that's where we are. This one here.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. So, how do we do this? This reckoning and presenting, and the truth is, the beautiful truth is that we're not alone. I already invoked we talked about the proverb that says the man who isolates himself seeks his own desire in mm-hmm. or destruction, because he purposely wants to get alone, mm-hmm. Inside his own thoughts, his own imaginations, his own, and that can be a dangerous place. Mm-hmm. It can be a very dangerous place. Those imaginations are image nations, and we're called to do battle against them, because mm-hmm. they war against our souls. But we're not alone. John 14:16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper mm-hmm. that he may abide with you forever.
Amen.
And he goes on to say in 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, so now we know who the helper is,
mm-hmm.
The Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you, bring to your remembrance all that he said to you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is powerful in that, anybody who tries to do the Christian life by gritting their teeth mm-hmm. and saying, okay, I got this, I'm going to be a better person for Jesus today, you've already set yourself up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a drudgery. It's going to be a downward spiral of confusion and wondering why you keep falling into the same pit. And then, talk about the mully grubs mm-hmm. and the self-condemnation, all those things that flow out of that notion that I can do this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. None of us can. I can't. Mark can't. Even Tammy Lynn can't. Mm-hmm. Amazing. But he doesn't leave us. Or forsake us. He doesn't cut us loose and say, okay, guys, you prayed a prayer. I saw that at the altar. I'm proud of you. Great. See you in 20 years in heaven or whatever it is.
Right.
Good luck with that. No, he gives us his word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And he gives us his spirit to help us along the way, to nudge us, to guide us, to convict us of sin, to speak into our lives and say whatever it takes, not necessarily take a left at the next light, but definitely don't touch that drink. Why do you want to go there again? What don't you remember the bondage that it was? Be careful on the computer. Don't you remember how you stumbled into that once and it took you 7 years to get out?
And Mark, with your discipleship program,
part of this, we touched on freedom is obviously there's things that are besetting sins that can lock us in chains,
yeah.
but But the thing the Bible points to time and time again is the need to renew our minds and the spiritual warfare that happens within our minds to break down those principalities and powers and every thought raised up against the knowledge of Christ.
Right.
And what's that? That's the world system. As Arthur rightly pointed out, the idea of freedom is a fallacy because we live in God's creation under the Creator. We are not free from Him. And what we do with our lives and our being, whatever we think or do, there's no getting away from the Lord. He created everything. So heaven, you're there. If I go to hell, you're there. So that's
that's pretty much got it.
From God, we're not gonna escape from his standard, his purpose for our lives. What's right, you know. You said when we're doing everything right, when you see things done correctly, you have a sense of rightness. And When you said that line earlier, I thought of the silly Christmas movie. It's a Christmas Story, where it's this this old remembrance of a Christmas with getting a BB gun and shooting your eye out. But in the chaos of that movie, and there was a lot of chaos of silliness and whatnot. At the end of it, like Christmas celebration was done, the father and mother were sitting and basically having a moment's peace under the Christmas tree with their children. And the narrative says like all things were right in the world. And I take it out of the context, and it's like the thing that was right in the world is that they were worshiping the Lord by celebrating the birth of Christ. According to the world stuff, but that moment of peace was when things are right in the world. And when we come into agreement with what the Lord says about us, with the realization that there's no escaping Him, it's the only way we can survive is to make peace with the Creator. Pretty basic.
Right.
Yeah. Like someone made us, so shouldn't we consider what He might have to say about what we do with our lives?
Good idea.
And all those other choices, like we said, we cut it down to two. It's either God's way or the multiplicity of other things that are not Him, which will lead destruction, because we need to have peace with Him to have eternal life, to go on from this time from our birth to our death to something else. Successfully, it has to be by his will and by his authority and his acceptance. And He made a way for us through His Son. And the verse that gives us great hope that we don't have to earn it, and Ephesians 2:8-9,
you're free now.
On to 10, to say, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, and that's pointing to your, which is purpose. He didn't say, "Hey guys, you're forgiven of all your sins. Go do what you want."
That's anarchy. That's total.
You've been totally forgiven, and it doesn't matter what you do because I love you, and I don't care what you do. But that's not what the word says. The word
and that's the pseudo Christians. That's that pseudo Christian axiom now that God loved us. He forgave us of my sins, and I can do whatever I want because God's going to love me no matter what I do. He's going to forgive me for my sins. And that's true on one level.
But it's a dangerous
place to be. And if you continually do sin, there's the scriptures in the verse that, in the Bible that talks about that too, that God will, in the end, people come and say, "But Lord, I did this in your name. I did that in your name. I did this in your name." And He says, "Depart from me. I never knew you." That is scary. We're running around thinking that we're doing all this stuff good, but are we really doing it for God, or are we doing it for ourselves?
So a cautionary note for this culture is that the pendulum swings equally in the opposite direction. It always does. It just always does. Somebody take a moment and read world history. Just go take a college course in Western Civ.
And I love the fact
I love the fact that you got all this out of Hayford's book, because Hayford, you know, understood the need for both the word and the spirit, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Marcus Horner, in his book, A Deeper Walk, writes about the need for both the spirit and the word as part of our walk, because, well, basically, if the word of God is, you know, inspired, as it says, you know, basically it's God breathed. So the Holy Spirit, yeah, like helped work through men to write the word of God, right? So he wrote the word down. So if we're so into that word, shouldn't we be into the spirit and listening to what he said, and he guides us too, because he's the author of truth? And in other words, do we think he died and is not speaking to us any longer because he had his say in writing the word out? Well, no, that's not the case. And so Hayford understood about walking in the spirit and having a balanced view of theology. He didn't dismiss the word. You know, basically,
he did
an alignment with both by listening to the word and discerning the word of truth by the word of truth. Like, oh, I'm sort of being led to do this. Well, what does the word say? You know, as a guide, walking in the spirit into freedom. And that, you know, we really got to break it down, because people have such an infantile view of Christianity that it becomes, well, I got to go to this building on this day, and I can't do these things, and I can't do these things, and I'm just in this, you just became bondage to a system, and you're not living in the freedom that the Lord has given you to seek out your purpose. And what that is different for all of us. We are, you know, freedom isn't about conformity to a system. It's about being conformed to the image of Christ. And
amen. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
And because of that, Arthur's next statement from Hebrews 4:16.
Well, I just wanted to flush out that what I, you know, just wanted to finish that one thought, that that the pendulum will swing equally to the opposite direction. And so this abject freedom that our culture thinks it's flowing in right now will come crashing down into a place of abject bondage. And it will turn into, and that's, you know, many, mostly conservative pundits are pointing this out, saying that the totalitarian government is on the horizon, you know, waiting, because the consequences of this abject freedom brings anarchy, it brings in the old West, and then the government has to move in and just shut it all down. So, you know, it becomes like, you know, well, we can just think of tons of movies.
Well,
I don't want to get back on the
well,
movie.
Let me just speak on one aspect. Let me just speak on one aspect of what you're going there with. The one thing, another aspect of this, you know, this total freedom thing is as people break the bonds of freedom and establish their freedom from, like, gender identity or whatever, they enslave other people to their ideology. And now we're so free that we're throwing this off, but you can't say that against us or whatever. And, you know, it's increase in freedom equals lack of freedom in another area. It's like, you know, it's sort of crazy.
No, that's true. That's so very true.
So this spirit-filled life means that we can't approach, because, you know, we've been grafted in, mm-hmm. we've been adopted in, mm-hmm. Bought in to the family of God as sons and daughters. We can approach the throne boldly, as it says in Hebrews 4:16. And in this place of freedom, we're free to walk in our purpose again, back to the mm-hmm. overarching theme of purpose, as Christ, our elder brother, did perfectly. We have access to God's promises mm-hmm. because we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ, according to Romans 8:17. Mm-hmm. So true freedom is conformity to your purpose and design, mm-hmm. not release from it. Right? Release represents separation back into bondage. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is the main point. And so Hayford concludes again by saying Christ's program of deliverance breaks bondage to both our flesh, self-desires and self-will, and the devil's mastery. However, we may still suffer the effects of Satan's strongholds in our lives now. Their torment can seem alive and well, but they are only ghosts of yesterday. And this is something that harkens back to our study of last week about when we were talking about, you know, speaking, be careful with our words and what we've spoken over our own lives or our children's lives or speak into our lives, exalting the past in ways that are unhealthy and sometimes even untrue. And he says they're only ghosts of yesterday. They're empowered only when we choose to listen to their lies. Mm-hmm. When we listen to the lies of the past, or those ghosts that, you know, that spoke into us, said you were stupid, said that you were ugly, said that you'd never amount to anything. The lies of the past can keep us in deceptive bondage, a bondage that requires our assent to empowerment. And to agree with your past, we have the option before us is to agree with our past or to agree with what God says about us. And, you know, God thinks we're terrific. He really does. He really does. Once again, we reinforce the understanding that he thinks we're so terrific that he sent his son to die mm-hmm. for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and suffered, you know, the most brutal humiliation and death devised by mankind at the time to redeem us, to buy us back mm-hmm. from the bondage of sin. And the choice is easy, but much is at stake mm-hmm. because eternity is at stake. It's not just a choice for a better life. I often say in the past, and I don't know who said this first, but it's a very leveling statement. Jesus did not come into the world, die on a cross to make bad people good or good people a little bit better. He came to make dead people alive. Yeah. And that's the thing that only he can do. Mm-hmm. And this new life is a life of freedom
in Christ.
In Christ, tethered to your purpose, which is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Mm-hmm. Enjoy him forever.
And that simply means, you know, people are like, well, what does that mean? It simply means that everything you do, every place you go, everything yeah. you thought, everything that thinking thing that you thought, you do it and you take it into the realm and the confinement of Christ's knowledge and Christ's love.
Yeah.
And that you put it back to his glory. It's nothing that we're doing. We're not the holier than thous here, people.
The scripture that the Westminster Confession uses is from Colossians that says, in all that you do, do it as unto the Lord. In all that you do. And there's a joy in that.
There is a joy. Even when
that.
It's hard, even yeah. when it's something that you're going through that's
right.
hard.
Right.
To be able to glorify God, and that is wonderful. It
really
brings
is.
You out of
it
the moly grubs. It brings you up, it lifts you up.
Yeah.
It makes you to stand on solid ground. And I think that's where we would love to leave you now, my dear listeners.
Hallelujah.
To know that you can stand on solid ground.
Yes.
Because a simple verse, John 3:16, simply says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Yeah.
That whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. That's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It's simple. It's small. But it's true
and beautiful,
and all you have to do is choose.
Yeah,
Mark, what, you want to pray us out?
Yeah, absolutely. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for
Hallelujah.
Making us free, for setting us free. Open our eyes to yes. see that we're never free from you, but we can have peace with you. That you want a better life for us, Lord. You have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, and that starts with seeing the truth of your love that is expressed to us through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, so we thank you for opening our eyes to the truth and having the Son set us free. And Lord, we just pray for anyone listening or watching today that they would know your freedom by choosing Christ as Lord and Savior, and then choosing to follow into the freedom and into the purpose that you have for them in their lives. And Lord, as we always pray on Sunday, we pray for you to go before us today and to anoint the pastors and the worship teams of the Christian services that'll happen
yes.
across the land. Lord, that they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit to cause minds and hearts to be changed, to want to love and know you more, and to worship you in spirit and in truth by pursuing you and seeking your truth and seeking your purpose for all of our lives today. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you. And we pray all these things. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, that wraps up this session of Bible study with the Zincatis. Because of the content, I can't help but, you know, encourage people to, you know, pursue and seek the Lord and to know who you are in Christ and experience your freedom in Christ. Our podcast, the MT for Christ 247 podcast and YouTube channel, has discipleship lessons on the victory of the darkness, the bondage breaker, and freedom in Christ that are all designed basically to encourage you in your faith and know who you are and to resolve the spiritual conflicts that might arise. And one of the things, you know, Hayford said in his last things is the torment can seem alive and well, but they're ghosts of yesterday. They're empowered only when we choose to listen to the lies. Well, those teachings that I recommend is all about recognizing those lies and standing in the truth. And
that's right.
That free from the bondages. So. Now, even happy, mostly happy Christians can suffer from. So God wants more for you. God has more for you. And so we encourage you to seek it and find it. So for me, Arthur, Susanna, my lovely wife, Tammy Lynn, we wish everyone to have a wonderful day. And God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. Amen.